You are listening to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. We will be coming to you each and every day with uncensored, in-depth analysis of everything you need to know to win your fantasy leagues this season. You can follow us on Twitter, at Fantasy Benefits, or join the Facebook discussion groups, www.facebook.com/groups/Friends of Fantasy Benefits. Give us a 5-star review on iTunes, and send us a copy or screenshot of it to friendsoffantasybenefits@gmail.com or on Twitter, at Fantasy Benefits, for a chance to get into one of our listener leagues or other prizes. Enjoy the show. We are friends with Fantasy Benefits. Mike, how hard are you right now?
Oh man, I've been hard since you said hi. Welcome to Friends with Fantasy Benefits podcast.
Yeah, it's not ideal, really. It's just like they haven't thought about us at all.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Scott Boris.
It's all Scott Boris's fault. All of his content is useless thanks to him.
We are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Just when you thought Danny Duffy's fast food incident was the worst you could see in Major League Baseball, Bruce Maxwell says, hold my beer.
We are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Welcome to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. I'm Justin Mason, lead fantasy writer and analyst for friendsoffantasybenefits.com. Joining me on this episode is Darius Austin. Darius, how you doing?
I'm doing very well, man. It's a busy time, as we were just talking about, but yeah, having a lot of fun, and it's nice to actually get stuck into things after still the lull of the off-season, I guess, but I'm sure something's got to happen soon, right?
I keep joking that, like, this is really screwing everything up I want to do with podcasts and draft guide, because, you know, we're doing all these podcasts, one a day, one regular one a day, and then a mini pod. And I know at some point, just a peek behind the curtain, some of these podcasts aren't done like the day they're dropped or the day before they're dropped. They're done a couple days before. And I'm just waiting for the time in which we do a podcast a few days before it drops, and then that team either makes a huge signing or trades a bunch of people, and it's really going to screw me. And then obviously for the draft guide stuff is, you know, being submitted now and edited, and hope, you know, will be out in the beginning of February. But I know that stuff is going to have to be rewritten by the time stuff is submitted and it actually goes up, because there are still guys that haven't signed.
Yeah, it's not ideal, really. It's just like they haven't thought about us at all.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Scott Boris.
It's all Scott Boris's fault. All of this content is useless thanks to him.
Yeah, I mean, thankfully this podcast itself, if something breaks in the, you know, what, probably 18 hours before it goes up, it's not going to be huge, or it's not likely going to affect the Oakland A's. So that's a good sign.
You don't think Billy Bean is going to splash the cash on you, Darvish?
I do not think he's going to be sliding in JD Martinez into left field. So so we'll get started on them. Just want to remind everybody, you can reach Darius on Twitter at DariusA64. Me on Twitter at Justin Mason FWFB, and let's kind of get rolling on this. So let's start with, you know, we'll start in the infield. Matt Olson is a guy that is getting a lot of helium, and rightfully so. He had a really interesting call up last year. We actually just had an article by Steve Ross, his first article that went up on the site today, which for you guys will be yesterday, so definitely go check that out, because it was an interesting look into what Matt Olson is. What is Matt Olson for you, and is he being overdrafted?
Yeah, I haven't really seen too much data on him yet. It certainly was an exciting debut. the homer pace was ridiculous. You do not see a 651 slugging very often. He hit 24 homers and just over 200 plate appearances. So that's exciting, I guess. There's obviously a huge amount of batting average risk here, I think. And I think it all comes down to, you know, whether he can keep that in the moderately respectable range to see whether you can use him that much for fantasy or not. You know, if he's going to struggle to hit above the Mendoza line, then you can find power almost everywhere these days. So see how that goes. And I think if you're in an OBP league, then he's got a much safer floor because he has shown the ability to walk a ton pretty much everywhere he's been. So, yeah, I think there's probably a risk he's getting overdrafted from that small sample. But he's also perhaps the kind of guy that maybe in some leagues where people aren't paying attention quite so much, they might just be going, who's Matt Olson? Because he's barely played in the majors.
Yeah, and I think that's a fair point. I think depending on your league and who's in it, he may fall between the cracks. According to the NFBC data, he's not falling between the cracks. As of yesterday, his ADP was 114th.
Yeah, that is definitely not between the cracks.
Yeah. Going right ahead of Ryan Zimmerman, Ian Desmond, and let's see, I believe Joey Gallo. So, I mean, some names that are some that, you know, Ryan Zimmerman was a forgotten man coming into last season, huge output, and now he's back up there. Ian Desmond is a guy that had a down year last year. And then Joey Gallo, a prospect that has never realized the potential we thought he might, but had a ton of power last year. I feel like that's a bit rich for me, but I can understand why people are going there.
Yeah, it seems, I think I probably wouldn't pay for him there, but I can see that group jumbling around. I mean, he's not too dissimilar from Gallo in a lot of ways. Might be one of those things that one of those guys ends up sliding a bit more to a point where you're comfortable. I think there are certainly enough guys, and we're probably going to talk about a couple more on this team, who are going to be low batting average, high power types, and it will just be a case of take who comes to you. I don't think they're going to be too hard to find in 2018.
Yeah. Speaking of one of those kind of guys, Matt Chapman also had a pretty interesting debut. A lot of power in this profile, but again, a lot of batting average risk. He's definitely not getting the exact or the same kind of inflation, but I mean, he is a guy that is going. Actually, wow, I'm actually pretty surprised where he's going. He's going 272nd overall right now, so I think that's a pretty nice bargain, especially if you miss out on some of the upper tier third basemen. What are your thoughts on Matt Chapman?
Yeah, I mean, that seems like the much more ideal place to take a risk to me. I think that the profile isn't all that dissimilar. I think he's going to strike out a lot. There's batting average risk again. He hits even more fly balls, so I think that will contribute to the batting average risk, but I think you can also depend on quite a few home runs. And he's a pretty good defender at third base by both the numbers and the scouting reports, so I think he's more likely to stick in the lineup on a regular basis. If Olsen does get off to a rough start, I think he's maybe a bit more likely to get benched in short order. So I love the draft cost, and I think their lines could end up being pretty similar at the end of the season. So if you can get him as late as 270-odd, then that would be great.
Yeah, I was really bummed, actually. He was a guy in the RotoWire Dynasty League that I was targeting, especially because I had grabbed Miguel Sano a day before kind of the news on him, the news in terms of the alleged assault on a camera woman. Came out, so obviously his stock would have dropped and I wouldn't have taken him in the third round, but I was like, I'll grab Matt Chapman late. That'll fill in for the power if and when Sano is suspended, because I do expect him to lose some time at the major league level this year because of that. And of course, Chris Welsh from is in this league sniped him right before I was about to tag him, so I got a little screwed there. But I do like Chapman, a ton of power. I think this is a guy who could hit 30 home runs next year. I don't think Oakland is going to hold him back too much. And like you mentioned, very, very good defender. So I think even if he does struggle, even if he does strike out a bit too much, I think there's a real chance that he can continue to just get run out there. One, I don't think Oakland fancies themselves a contender this year, and so they're just going to give this kid a chance. And two, the defense should keep him on the field. So I like Matt Chapman a lot, especially going outside the top 250. Let's talk about another guy I like quite a bit that I feel like isn't getting proper respect. Marcus Semien had a down year because of injury last year. Only hit 10 home runs. Did steal 12 bases, which is higher than any total at the major league level so far. Hit 249, 325, 398. What are your thoughts on Marcus Semien?
I'm definitely interested in Semien again. I mean, we were both on him last year, and I don't think all that much has changed since then. I think he's still got the power-speed combo. He showed some nice on-base percentage gains before he went down last year, and I think he can hopefully retain some of those when he comes back in 2018. And if he can stay healthy for a full year, I think you're looking at maybe a 15-15, 20-15 kind of player at middle infield, and I think that's nothing to sneeze at, certainly if he can maintain the on-base gains as well. And Oakland seem pretty keen to bat him in a decent spot too. So, yeah, I love Semien, especially if he's not going to go any earlier than he did last year, which was kind of back end of the top 200. So I like the profile, and I think he can be a pretty useful fantasy option.
I'm right there with you. I think he's a guy who's not going to have a very high batting average, but I think he can hit 250. I think he can hit 15 to 20 home runs, steal 10 to 15 bases, and bat at the top of the order in Oakland, which I think has a tad bit better lineup than maybe other people give it credit for. So I don't love the idea of Jed Lowrie batting third, as Roster Resource puts it, but I don't necessarily know that Lowrie's going to be batting their third all year round. So
yeah, only till he gets hurt. So
or they break up Frank Libretto, and I love Semien right now. Currently, let's see. Let me bring up his ADP real quick. He's currently going as a 230th player off the board. I think that's insanely low. So I'm going to have a lot of shares of Marcus Semien once again, and hopefully he doesn't hurt his wrist.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
So let's go ahead and I'm just going to skip over Jed Lowrie. Don't buy into what he did last year. I mean, unless you disagree.
No, I mean, I think he's a good player, but his power is of the doubles variety mostly, and there's a lot of injury risk there, and he's 33, and there's not an awful lot to get excited about. I think you can look elsewhere, unless you, really just looking for somebody who's going to get at bats until he gets hurt, I guess.
All right. Any interest in Bruce Maxwell at catcher?
I mean, there's still some uncertainty with the legal issues. I know David Forster has kind of said he expects him to be ready for the start of the season, but that's still up in the air a bit after his issue with a delivery person he threatened with a gun, wasn't it? That whole situation seems a little bit concerning and strange. So
You thought Danny Duffy's fast food incident was the worst you could see in Major League Baseball, Bruce Maxwell says, hold my beer.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I'm not sure there's a huge amount there. He flashed a bit of power in AAA in 2016. If he can get up to kind of mid-teens in the majors, the A's sound like they're committed to making him the primary catcher. So I think for what that's worth, he could be a back-end guy or, a solid two-catcher league. But, that's if he gets the playing time, if he doesn't get suspended, if there aren't any legal repercussions. There's a lot of ifs here, so maybe just a guy to keep an eye on. And if he does get on the field and the A's are committed to playing him sort of 5 out of 7 days a week, then maybe we've got something here. But I don't think there's a huge amount of upside.
All right, let's talk about Chris Davis, because there's a lot of thoughts. I think some people discount him, and then some people are over the moon about Chris Davis. Where do you fall on Chris Davis as a fantasy option?
Yeah, I think he is what he is. He's got monster power and a ton of swing game. I think he's going to be streaky. I think one of those kind of set it and forget it guys. Just don't get demoralized when he's hitting 120 over a couple of weeks, because the next couple of weeks he could hit 7 home runs and, kind of single-handedly boost your team up the standings. it's just a value thing. I think the batting average, I think it's been exactly the same the last three seasons, hasn't it? 247. So you kind of know what you're getting there. And I think he's improved his walk rates enough that you can maybe count on him in an OBP league in a way that you couldn't a year or two ago. So, yeah, I think he's what he is. He's a monster power guy, and you'll just have to make sure you make up for it in average.
Yeah, and I mean, Chris Davis is a guy that I love because I tend to either devalue or completely punt batting average. So he's pretty much put up the same stat line the last 2 years, 42 home runs, 43 home runs, a bunch of RBIs, 247 average on the nose. The only thing that he's improved is his walk rate, and which is nice to see. It took a little dip when he first got to Oakland. Maybe he was pressing a little bit. He went back to, you know, trusting his eye at the plate, and things have returned to actually gone above where it was previously with the Brewers. You know, it'd be interesting to see if he gets traded, because I know it's a, you know, the A's are a rebuilding team. He's a guy that is costing more and more money through arbitration, he's 30 years old, so he's no longer getting, you know, he's not going to get any better at this point. And Oakland may try to cash in on that. I think if he gets traded prior to draft season kind of getting going, depending on where he ends up, you could see a huge skyrocket in his value in terms of his draft position, which I think would be unwarranted. You know, this Chris Davis has real manpower. No park holds him back. Oakland A's, the A's park, the Coliseum, does not hold him back. And so you wouldn't get a huge bump necessarily by going to a different park that's more favorable for hitters. He's not a guy that, you know, his 28 doubles are now going to turn into an extra 14 home runs. So, you know, I would project him to be around the same place he's been the last couple of years, which is about 40 home runs. So if he gets traded, I may be out, but I think if he stays in Oakland, I'll be on board with where he's going. Let's move on over to the outfield. Steven Piscotty is traded from St. Louis, gets to go to Oakland, which is near his mom, who is suffering from ALS, one of the reasons he missed some time last year. So it's a nice feel-good story because he gets to be close to his mom, and maybe that affected him on the field. What are your thoughts on him in Oakland now?
Yeah, I think it's potentially move for him. I think it's obviously been very difficult for him. For those who don't know, his mother has ALS and she lives in the Bay Area, and that was kind of cited as one of the reasons why the Cardinals traded him over there. So hopefully that situation, I mean, it's never going to be great, obviously, but I think that certainly must have affected his mindset on and off the field, and maybe the move will help him out from that standpoint. So I think he's kind of been a very solid player without being that useful fantasy so far. But the foundation is here, and we've seen a lot of guys who've got good contact rates, good approaches at the plate, tap into more power than we expected. So I'm kind of hopeful that Piscotty can maybe do that with some regular playing time. I think he should be a fixture in this lineup. Yeah, I think he's going to be kind of a safe baseline guy for you as well. I think he'll have a good walk rate, good average. So if nothing else, if you're looking for kind of a safe outfield anchor, then he can be that for you. But I'm hopeful that there's a little bit more in the bat in terms of the power, and maybe we'll get to see that in Oakland.
Yeah, I kind of love where he's going. 320th on NFBC's ADP. I think he is a bit of a forgotten man. And as long as he doesn't come out and have like a huge spring training, I think he's a guy that you're going to get at a really cheap, affordable rate. He doesn't have like a flashy tool necessarily, but I think he's just an all around good hitter. Will, you know, get to bat pretty close to the middle of this lineup. You know, currently, Roster Resource has him batting six. I think there's a good chance that he's batting, you know, maybe second or fourth at some point this season. You know, as I don't think Matt Joyce is going to be batting second all year, or Jed Lowry is going to be batting third. So I think there's a real good chance he's going to be batting towards the middle top of this lineup. Like I said, I don't think this offense is necessarily as bad as maybe other people in the industry. I think he's a guy that you pencil in 15 home runs. and maybe like five stolen bases, but I think he has a realistic shot to go 20-10 with a pretty decent average and a plus OBP. So he's a guy I'm looking to buy low on. I've already bought low in a dynasty league last season, and I think he's a guy that you want to root for. So maybe that plays a little bit into my thinking, but I remember Gene Segura, you know, everybody was down and out on him, not realizing all the personal stuff going around for him when he lost his son a few years ago, and then a change of scenery and some time removed, and he turned back into the stud we knew he could be. So I think Piscotty's one of those kind of guys that we can see him going back to what he was in 2016, which was a very valuable fantasy player. Anybody else in this outfield that's interesting to you?
Yeah, I mean, I think Matt Joyce can be useful in fantasy, but he's the kind of guy I think you need to have a decently sized roster because you know you're not going to get the full-time at-bats. He's also super streaky. He had another one of his ice-cold streaks last year, and I think about kind of June, I said, well, if you're desperate and you're looking for someone, then Matt Joyce is, you know, on his cold streak and he could get you hot. And second half, he came out and went nuts. He's really got great at taking walks. And if he's hit playing against a righty, then, you know, if you're looking in DFS lineups, he's actually one of the better options out there. So, yeah, I think if you've got the space on a roster to carry someone who is primarily a platoon guy, then you can do that with Matt Joyce. And he has found a way to tap into a bit more power as well the last couple of years. So I think there are situations where he can be useful. And Boog Powell is kind of being touted, I think, certainly on Fangraphs. They've got him projected for quite a lot of playing time. I'm kind of interested to see how he plays because he's always hit kind of well in the minors, but I think that the scouting reports don't really have quite so much positivity about him. And I know he's had some makeup issues as well. So he's kind of a guy who's shown some speed and a little bit of power lately as well. So if he gets the playing time, he might be worth a look just to see, you know, some guys just carry on hitting no matter what the scouts say. I'd be kind of interested to see him play and see what he could do with the time. But yeah, I think Davis and Piscotty are the ones that you really want here.
Yeah, I'm not buying it on Boog Powell. I think Dustin Fowler's up before too long for this A's team. You remember he did make his major league debut, but then in his major league debut tore up his knee because the Chicago White Sox don't know how to hide electrical equipment. So, you know, I think Fowler gets up somewhat early, you know, after, you know, maybe around Memorial Day, something like that. And he takes over for Powell. Powell is a guy that, to me, is just he's nothing special. No carrying tool that makes him interesting for fantasy. So I'm completely out on that. Joyce, though, is a guy that's interesting to me, especially if you can get him late and have built a roster that has some one positional flexibility, some guys that maybe can play some different spots in your lineup. And two, you've got daily moves lineups. Like, he's not a guy I love when it comes to weekly lineups. I hate having to balance platoon hitters in a weekly lineup. But if you're playing daily moves, I love him. And like you said, in DFS, he's great when he faces a right-hander. And he rarely is super expensive in DFS. So let's go ahead and move over and talk about some of the pitchers. I'll start with Sean Manaea because I think he's the most interesting of the bunch, and then I'll just kind of throw you the rest of the group and tell me if there's anybody interesting you. Manaea had a very up-and-down season last year. Some people really believe in the hype from his prospect pedigree. Are you one of them?
Yeah, I'm still kind of in, and mainly it's because the slider has just looked so good. I think if he could just assemble a average-ish Arsenal around that, then I think this would be a pretty exciting start of fantasy. And, you know, he times last year, but I think he was also very inefficient. And, well, he pitched kind of like a guy who maybe you would have not thought had much experience in the majors, which is what he is. So I think there is still something there. Maybe he's never going to quite reach the potential that a few people thought he had because, you know, he's a big lefty. He sort of looks like he is a frontline starter, and I'm not sure he's going to be that. But I think as a mid-rotation fantasy guy with some decent strikeout upside if he can find a way to harness that slider to its full potential. I think you could probably do worse than taking a shot on him, and he didn't have the greatest of seasons last year, so maybe you can get him a bargain as well when you kind of get the post-hype price for him as opposed to the one you had to pay when everybody was buying in.
Yeah, I think he got a little bit unlucky last year. I would love to see the strikeouts tick up, because if the strikeouts tick up, I think this is a guy who is pretty underrated. But I think he got a little unlucky in the BABIP. I think he got a little unlucky in the strand rate. The BABIP, maybe not so, because that infield defense isn't good behind him. And so maybe that's the reason for the BABIP kind of being a little abnormally high for him. So I don't necessarily want to say that's the end-all, be-all. But I think if, you know, maybe a couple bounces the other direction, and he's a guy that has a sub-4 ERA, and if he can get the strikeouts going a little bit higher, then he becomes a pretty interesting piece in fantasy. I'm not done with him, but he is going to be 26 here in a few weeks. So he's not as young as maybe some people might think he is. And so it's kind of a now or never type situation. Let me just check his ADP real quick, because that'll kind of determine for me whether I'm in or out. Currently going 251st, almost 252nd overall, going around names like Jay Happ, Alex Reyes, Tanner Roark, Julio Teheran. So I think that's a really interesting grouping, because I think some of those guys have some upside, but some really a really low floor, and I think that's exactly what Manaea is.
Yeah, that's definitely a very interesting group. That feels like the kind of group where it depends where you've gone with your team earlier on. If you want maybe a bit more safety, you'd take a guy like Happ. Mm-hmm. If you're hoping for more upside, then Manaea kind of seems like maybe one of the best names of that group. So, yeah, I'd definitely take a shot on him back there. That seems like a fine price to me.
Yeah, I think, yeah, I mean, in a traditional redraft, oh, God, him versus Alex Reyes is an interesting conversation, because I feel like Reyes obviously has the higher upside and could see it and could realize it this year. But I think, you know, there's no chance that Reyes gets more innings. So, like, I mean, are you going, you know, saying Manaea is safer is true in versus Reyes. But I don't know. I mean, I think if I'm going balls to the wall, maybe I just take Reyes there. And if I'm going for safety, I take Happ. So maybe Manaea isn't a guy I end up with on very many teams this year. But I'm definitely not out by any stretch of the imagination. Anybody else that's interesting in this rotation for you? They've, you know, Andrew Triggs has had moments of fantasy viability. Kendall Graveman, some people are still in on him. Daniel Mengden has a fantastic mustache. Jesse Hahn is Jesse Hahn.
Yeah, nobody that I'm crazy excited about. I've had moments where I've kind of looked at Kendall Graveman's Arsenal and thought there ought to be a better pitcher here, but it never really seems to have fully materialized. And certainly for fantasy, his strikeouts have been so low that I don't think he's really worth taking much of a shot on. Cotton, I'm kind of not very excited about. I know a lot of people were coming into last year, but yeah, I think, you know, he's got some heading to the bullpen potential if he doesn't figure it out in the next year or two. I think Manaea is the guy to look out here. Triggs certainly is someone that I would definitely spot start, and maybe he can be a bit healthier this year. But again, the strikeouts do limit his utility, so there's not anyone that I'm desperate to pick up as a late round flyer.
Hahn always is a guy who's interested me, and I keep going back to the well, and I mean, the surface numbers don't look great from last year, but if you look at his FIP was almost 2 runs lower than his ERA. The strikeouts took a tick up, really limited the home runs. I mean, I don't think you can draft him outside of AL only leagues, but he's definitely a guy I'm looking at streaming, especially at home. So let's move on into the bullpen, which this team actually has a really interesting, nice bullpen. Blake Treinen is closing. They acquired Chris Hatcher last year. Liam Hendricks, I think, still has some potential. They acquire Yusmeiro Petit via free agency this year. Santiago Casilla had moments where he looked like his old self. Obviously, Blake Treinen is the guy. What do you think about him in terms of closing and then the bullpen as a whole?
Yeah, I actually quite like Blake Treinen. I mean, he's got some ludicrous movement on his pitches. He's one of those incredibly gifable guys. I think you see some ridiculous ones on the picture GIFs account and that kind of thing. I quite like him, and I was kind of surprised at how badly he was doing at times for the Nationals last year. So I really liked the pickup, and he performed pretty well for the A's. I've got a decent amount of confidence in him, I think, and he's also managed to stay pretty healthy since he got to the majors, which is a point in his favor. So I'd be absolutely fine with him as a closer kind of guy that I'd be looking to take, and I think there might even be a bit of strikeout upside in there. I don't know that there's anybody else. Clearly, like you say, there's quite a few interesting guys, but I'd be hard pushed to pick one out if I was going to draft somebody else. Petit has been a pretty handy reliever, and I think he was the Angels' WAR leader last year, wasn't he? For the pitcher side,
he was actually super useful last year. And I mean, I'll chime in on Treinen in a minute, but Yusmeiro Petit had 91.1 innings of 2.76 ERA, almost 10 strikeouts per nine, kept the walks down, the homers down, moving to a better park. I mean, not much better, but it is a better park. Yusmeiro Petit is very similar to Chris Devensky in a way, especially in a kind of era right now where we're seeing starters going fewer and fewer innings per start. And if you need to kind of add up cheap innings, especially if you can kind of just leave Petit in your lineup and then cycle in starters from your reserve list or your bench list in a daily league, I really like Yusmeiro Petit. He is a guy that's going to end up on a number of my teams because I play in a number of deeper formats. I think he is a guy who gets overlooked how good of a season he put together last year. And really, if you kind of don't look too hard at the 2016 stat line, he put up those kind of years with the Giants too, where he was, you know, a mid-threes ERA pitcher with decent strikeouts, and really can just kind of supplement your team. You know, maybe it doesn't turn into a sub three ERA like it did last year, but I mean, if I can get a guy who's throwing a strikeout an inning and giving me around a 3-3.2 ERA for 91 innings at no cost, I think that, especially in your 15 team leagues or AL only, I think that is really, really valuable.
Yeah, and I think the other thing, and maybe this is something the A's were looking at, is that he's had years, especially last year with the Angels, where he's got a ton of infield fly balls. Mm-hmm. We all know how big the foul territory is out there in Oakland, so I think that could really play into his favor there as well.
Yeah, and as far as Treinen goes, I'm a big Treinen believer. After the trade over to Oakland, 2.13 ERA, almost 10 strikeouts per nine. Held down the home runs, the walks got back into check, started straining runners again. Like you said, he's got very gifable pitches. I mean, it's pretty amazing what the movement on some of the pitches are. And I just think he is a tad bit underrated coming into draft season. I know he pitches on a bad team, so saves may not be huge. But this is a team that, you know, was almost 500. And there are correlations show that a good bullpen around the closer is just as important as, you know, maybe having good starters, because you got to be able to get to the closer. And I think Oakland has a pretty decent bullpen this year. So Treinen is a guy that I think will end up as my number two closer on a number of teams. All right. That is going to wrap us up for this episode. Darius, want to tell people what you're working on, where you reach on social media, because you have some big news to announce.
I do, yes. So from this point now, my first article actually went up today. I am officially a baseball prospectus fantasy author, which does sadly mean that I won't have any written content at FWFB, but I am still allowed to do podcasts. So you will still be hearing me on these podcasts. And yeah, you can now check out my writing over at Baseball Prospectus. You may need to be a subscriber to see some of it, including today's piece. But it is good, I promise you. I'm working on the new series this year called Fact or Fiction, which is basically we're taking a number of beliefs that fantasy owners sort of hold commonly about certain positions or just trends within the game, and examining whether those are actually true and kind of their impact on the fantasy landscape and to what extent they are true, if at all. So yeah, my first one on catches went up today, which will be yesterday when you're listening to this, so go and check that out. And I also just recorded a fun podcast with the guys at Batflips and Nerds, which was a draft of baseball books. So we had a guy, Justin, on from, he runs the Baseball by the Book pod. So he was a really great guest to have on, and we all picked a couple of books to talk about. So if you're looking to get some book recommendations, and we had a pretty diverse range of choices on there. So yeah, that will be coming out tomorrow as well.
Well, you know, before I give my rundown of all my places you can read or listen to my stuff, you know, want to publicly, and I did on Twitter in kind of a joking way, you know, talk about Brett Sayre and the guys at BP sniping me. I think it is a testament to how good of work you've produced here at Friends of Fantasy Benefits that a place like Baseball's Prospectus went out and grabbed you. I wish you all the luck there. Obviously, you'll be staying on here to do podcasts, and we will miss your written work on our web pages. But they really got a fantastic writer, and wish you all the best of luck in your adventures at Baseball Prospectus. You can reach me on Twitter at Justin Mason FWFB. Email me or the show, friendsoffantasybenefits@gmail.com. You can read all my stuff at Fangraphs, Fantasy Alarm, probably some stuff at Fantrax, where I'll be doing a pod for the Great Fantasy Baseball Invitational, which will be really getting into full effect here pretty soon. You can hear me on the Tau Wars Hours, move to Sundays, 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 Pacific, where I co-host the Tau Wars Hour with Laura Michaels. And then, yeah, you can hear me on all these podcasts, as I'm sure you will be over the course of this year. So, yeah, that's going to wrap us up for Darius and myself. Thank you for listening. Have a fantastic baseball season.